Good morning, everyone. It is May 3rd, and we are here this morning sharing with you from God's Word, and it's going to be a great day. A couple things to remind yourself of is that next weekend is Mother's Day, and however you're going to do that and make sure Mom gets appreciated, please make sure you are set and ready to go for that, because moms are incredibly special, and we wish we all could be here in the same room together worshiping, but next weekend we'll celebrate moms in a special way as well. Let's go before the Lord in prayer and begin worship this morning. Father God, we thank you so much for this great day that you've given to us. We thank you for the love that you continue to show to us. Thank you that the weather is changing and spring is springing upon us a little bit. And we just thank you so much that each and every new day that you give us is a great one and we get to spend it with you. Thank you for the opportunities we've had to grow closer together as families and as friends through this difficult time of sheltering in place. But we just thank you that we can still meet together and worship you. So this morning, Lord, may this time of worship be pleasing to you and may be a time in which you just are as blessed as we are with who we are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dark. Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, none like you, our God is greater, our God is stronger, God you are higher than any other, our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God you are higher than any other, our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God.
words of worship rise like a river within me. Thoughts to express are so many. I want to bless you, God. Can't be silent. Think of the mercies you show me. My lips begin
Hello, everyone. It's been kind of a crazy week around here and all the things taking place. But one of the things that I thought about this week is we don't need another person talking at us and telling us what we can and cannot do. And I didn't want to preach another sermon today. I just simply wanted to be able to share with you guys some things. So I'm not going to preach a real sermon. I'm just going to share with you some important stuff that I believe is going to help us, each and every one of us, through these difficult times. And these just uncertain times, things that will help bring us strength and encouragement. And not only that, should be able to see us through no matter what comes our way. So this morning, as I get ready to head into the sermon, or not sermon, whatever you want to call it, let's pray. God, thank you so much for this day that you've made for us. Thank you for this moment in time in which we live. It is the greatest moment to be alive, and we are. And you have set it up to be that way. And we can rejoice and be glad in it no matter what is happening. And Lord, I just ask that today would be a day in which we can sit back and be thankful for everything in our lives. Even this weird shelter in place If we take advantage of it and look what you want to do in the middle of it, some great things can happen. Some relationships can be healed and bettered instead of hurt. And we can see some neat, neat stuff take place. So be with all my brothers and sisters around the world today and family and friends. I pray that you'd bless each and every one of them. I just pray that you'd keep us all safe in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm not going to tell you a lot about what you can or cannot do. There's a lot of people doing that, but I'm going to share with you four passages of Scripture that can be an encouragement to you. And for that happened, I want to lay some groundwork because there's some things that you're going to want to do, you're going to need to do in your life. And for a lack of better terms, you're going to have to trust me on this because there's some important stuff that is coming from these verses. And the first thing that we have to do is we have to trust God. Trust God that He has a plan, even in the midst of all of this, that He has made a plan for all of us in the entire world, and He's made an incredible provision for each and every person for eternal life who would turn to Him by faith. That He is willing to forgive whatever sins we've committed and whatever sins we will commit and help us to become who He wants us to be because He loves us. We need to trust Him. The second thing is we need to trust God. Trust God that He will, what He says matters more than what people say. He's, what He says about your past and your failures and your mistakes matters more than what people joke about or laugh and point at. What He says about what you're going through right now matters more than what the news or Facebook has to say. And what He says about your future, well, you can take that to the bank, and His lobby is always open. The third thing is you got to trust God. Trust God that He's working in your favor this very moment when it seems like everything's falling apart. Whether you're in a hospital bed or whether you're sitting at home by yourself or whether you're stuck at home with someone who you don't want to be stuck at home with, God's trying to work in this moment in these things to do something great. And He can and He will if you're willing to trust Him. I don't know if you've noticed the pattern or not, but all these seem to be saying, trust God, and that's what number four starts out with. Trust God that He's not surprised or undone by the circumstances or state of the world. He is not. He knows the beginning from the end, and every last minute that we face, He is in control, and He's going to use it for something good. And not only that, number five, you guessed it, you get to trust God again. You can trust God that He's better than Smucker's jelly, that He can take some rotten things, combine it with some other stuff, and make something really, really good. You know, and that's what we're waiting to see Him do in all the things that we're facing right now, and whatever circumstance you're facing right now in your life, God is working to do something good. And you might be wondering, how can you believe, or how can I trust and believe in God in these different areas? And I'm glad you asked. It goes back to the simple fact, I say it every week, I read the book. I looked and I saw what He has to say on the subject, and we can trust Him. And you know, as you go through and you read the Bible and you see what it says from start to finish, you can see some great things. There's some great stuff in there from the creation of the world in Genesis to the end of all things in Revelation. And you get to see everything in between and you get to get this big picture of what He's doing, what He's about. You get to see why you do some of the stupid stuff you do, why you sin and what sin really is according to what God says, and it doesn't matter even what I say sometimes or what the people of the church say, unless they're saying what God says sin is. And the great thing is in the Word of God, you also realize and you can see for yourself that you don't have to choose to go to hell. You can choose something better for your life and for your eternity, both then and now, because heaven in eternity with Him is not just something that happens after we die. It's right now, in this moment, in this difficult time. And why I can say that is because He wants to have a personal relationship, a deep connected relationship with us because He created us for that. And He loves us. No matter who we are, what we've done, He loves us. And that brings me to my first passage this morning. And it talks about the loving creation of God, how he created each one of us, and he cares for us out of his kindness for us because he loves us so much. In Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, it says this, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame wasn't hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. And all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." You know, God wasn't surprised at your birth that you came out and you were a boy or a girl. He wasn't surprised and shocked when he saw what you looked like. He was very, very interactive as you were being formed. And what's beautiful is it says that he created us. He knit us together. God set you in motion and he formed you and created you. And I love that whole picture of that knit together thing. It's kind of like you can see God taking and weaving together all of your DNA just as he wants it to make you special and unique. I remember a wonderful lady at one of the churches I pastored years ago. And she said to me, "You know, if I'm so fearfully and wonderfully made by God, why does it seem that he used so many junk parts?" She was old and she was frail and she was hunched over and her fingers were crooked from rheumatoid arthritis. She couldn't walk. She could barely eat. But one thing she could do is praise the Lord for loving her. Thelma Watkins was an amazing little woman. And it's so cool because she knew something that even with what her body was putting her through, she knew that God had something great in store for her. And it's incredible to look at and see where it says, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." You know, it's amazing that God has this great plan for our lives. He's got this great ideal for our lives from beginning to end. And he goes, "Here's the general skeleton or the outline that I have for your life to get you from here to get you to there. And all those things are great things that I have in store for you." And every day he wrote something special, something unique to make us become who we're supposed to be, which is to be like Jesus. Now, some of you would say, "Well, how do you know that's true?" Well, again, the Word of God tells us that. But the thing is that I want to bring your attention to is that I want to put something before you this morning. I believe that most of the good things that have happened in your life have been written down by God that, like Tuesday at 3:30 p.m., someone is going to stop by and deliver to you your favorite blizzard from Dairy Queen. I think God does those things. I think he's ordained those things. He's written them down and saying, "This is going to happen. Just like if you jump out of a tree, you're going to hit the ground." That's what's going to take place, okay? But he doesn't write all of them into your life. He allows room for choices to be made, so other good things that can happen that you're a part of making happen. But I also want to bring to your attention something that I believe that God will write into our story some of the bad things that have happened in our lives and some of the bad things that will happen in our lives. You see, he uses those difficult times, those hard times, those bad things to mold and shape us into who we're supposed to be. A block of wood doesn't become a beautiful table leg unless someone takes and puts it in a lathe and turns it down and forms it into a beautiful table leg. To do that, it has to be spun. I don't like being spun. To do that, it has to have a chisel put to it, which shapes and forms it into a beautiful leg. That needs to happen so beauty can come out of it. So God puts into our lives some bad things, some hard things, some trying times. But he combines it with good things, and they're all for a purpose. Now, we make some choices, like I said, that are good things that add to our life. But here's the thing. All of us have made bad choices, bad decisions that hurt us long term. I was supposed to play music tonight, but unfortunately, well, doing working in my shop, I ran into some situations where I cut the ends of my fingers open. Now it's really hard to play guitar when your fingers are cut open. And not only that, the fingers on my right hand, I can't even hold a pencil, so I definitely couldn't hold a guitar pick because they're swollen because they got infected. But the interesting thing with that is God didn't intend that for it to happen. It happened because of choices I made. But here's the great thing. Because I wasn't playing, someone called during the time that I would have been rehearsing and playing, and I got to talk with them and give them some encouragement. Now, that's God using a bad thing to become a good thing, because I was there to take the call and be able to talk with the person and be able to encourage them and help them through some tough times. And that's what happens, is not everything that's bad is bad. Sometimes some good's going to come out of it. We just don't know. So here's kind of the illustration I thought up. A woman finds out that she's pregnant and going to have a baby. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? That's a great question. Most people that want to have kids think it's a good thing. They're excited about that, this new life that's coming, and there's all those things. But here, let's add to that story. This woman found out she's going to have a baby. This woman is not married. She's all alone, it seems. Well, 100 years ago, that would have been a terrible thing, something you couldn't recover from. Your name would have been smeared. It would have been terrible. I mean, the Scarlet Letter was written because of that. 70 years ago would have been a bad thing. You'd have been the talk of the town. People would have looked down to you. Life would have been tough. You would have survived. 50 years ago, it would have been looked down upon. That shouldn't happen. It doesn't happen to good girls, right? 30 years ago, it would have been, you know, that's going to be a tough road. I don't know how that's going to work out for you, but you're going to make it. And now it seems to be pretty common. So it depends when the timing is what things dictate on that, it seems. Because it's changed in people's minds and hearts. But let's add to that story one more thing. The woman who found out she's having a baby and isn't married is 14. Now things are getting really tough, and it's not looking like it's a good thing at all, doesn't it? It seems like this good news that she was pregnant and going to have a baby is now getting to be really, really bad news. And let's throw in there, say, 15 years later, 20 years later, the father is nowhere to be found. He's out of the picture. No one hears hide nor hair of him, and she's left with 3 or 4 kids by herself, and she's now 30 years old with a couple teenagers of her own wondering, what is she going to do? Some people look at it and say, man, those are bad things that happened. You know what I call those bad things that happened? I call that Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. You see, Jesus came into this world through a young 14-year-old girl who wasn't married when she found out she was pregnant. And after she delivers the child at 14 years old or so, she goes on and she begins to raise him up. And you know what's interesting is Scripture kind of writes, we don't hear much about Joseph. We know he was a carpenter. We know some things were there. He had input in Jesus' life and had a few kids with Mary. But, you know, there's things that we look at the beginning and say, this is bad, that God does some amazing things. And God wants to do some amazing things with the tough times that you're facing in your life. And he can, because God is working all those things to do something great. So how do we live out our days? They're full of bad things and good things, and we don't know what they are really at the beginning, but we can see God doing something. And the only way that we can live out each one of our days, no matter what comes our way, is to be committed to the only thing that really matters. Proverbs 16, 2 through 4 says, all a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. And then it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for the day of disaster. Now, what's interesting is this. I just want to clear this up real quick. Don't sit there and say, I'm making the plans to go and rob a bank and I'm going to get all kinds of money and then I'm going to give you 10%, God, and then, so let me get away scot-free, right? He's not going to bless that. Even though you're committing it to give to him and all those things, that's not a good plan because it's violating like several of God's rules for living. But what you do is you commit your ways, everything you do, everything you invest your life into whatever he desires. And he says, I'll make your life a success. And I was thinking about that whole thing about commitment. And what does it mean to be committed to the Lord and what he wants for your life, no matter what? No matter what decision you have to make, how can you make the right decision to follow God 90% of the time? And it comes from the idea of commitment. Making the same decision over and over again. And the same decision over and over again is being willing to have your motives always reflect God in every situation. What's going to bring out the best ends for God and his glory? And let him make you successful in whatever you face. To go through life saying, my life is the Lord's. I'm committed to him no matter what the circumstance. You see, what's interesting is us thinking about the lady and the old man who were interviewed in 2000. They had been married for 75 years. They got married in 1925 and they had lived through so many things. They lived through the Great Depression. They lived through World War II and Korea and Vietnam and the 70s and the 60s. They survived those intact. But what was interesting is they were being interviewed for an article and the interviewer asked, how did you do it? You lived through all those things. And your marriage has even outlived three of your kids. How did your marriage last so long? And they said, we chose each other every day, no matter what. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, most of the time we choose ourselves and what makes us happy instead of choosing what would please God. And you know what? When we're in control of everything, that's when we fall in the ditch and life isn't what we had hoped it would be. But when we choose to live for God and honor God, that's when great things happen. We can choose to do it God's way every time. And only the things that line up with God and his word are done God's way. And we have to make every day that we live count for him. And if we're willing to do that, we will be successful in the eyes of the one that matters most. And when we're all done living, he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, it's graduation time in the state of Illinois, no matter what Illinois says. And you're going to hear some things. You're going to hear this one verse over and over again. But what I want to say is that I've watched kids for 13 years, which includes kindergarten, work hard to become successful for this day. And there's this wonderful passage in Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 14, where God says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You know, what's really amazing about that passage is God knows those plans. He knows he has them for us. He plans to prosper us. He plans to give us hope and future. And in all of it, he doesn't want to harm us, but he wants to help us to become what we're supposed to be and who we're supposed to be. And he will do whatever means are necessary to make it happen. And you know, I believe tough times like we're facing right now, tough times in our health, tough times financially, tough times in our church, tough times in our daily lives, tough times in relationships, push us back to the one thing that matters most, and that's our relationship and direction that comes through our relationship with him. Because verse 12 through 14, we love the idea that he's got a plan and he wants to bless us, right? But he reminds us that the difficult times, which is what this passage is surrounded by, about being in exile and being cut off from him, he says this: I've got great things in store for you, but you've neglected them. But here's the deal. Verses 12 through 14 say, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from the place from which I carried you into exile. You see that? He says, I carried you into exile. You know, sometimes the difficulties we face can drive us to him and make us better, or we can choose to walk away. But every circumstance is meant to draw us closer to the one who loves us most. I was talking to someone today, and she said, Pastor Vince, I think God's trying to get our attention. And I said, I think you're right. Does he have yours? Are you taking this time that you're living in and these difficult times and investing it in following him and growing closer to him? Making the most of the opportunity that you find yourself in to grow and develop yourself and your talents, to use your life in such a way to glorify him? Are you examining your life while you've got nothing else to do? Are you looking at your life inside and out and trying to decide what should stay and what should go? Are you cleaning out your closet? How's that? Go in, and here's the challenge. While you're doing nothing at home, go and clean out your closet. Try on every piece of clothing that you own. Stand in front of the mirror and ask yourself the one question: really? Should I be seen in public in this? And if not, put it in a bag. Give it to Goodwill. People are going to need it after everything that this country is being put through and people around the world. What's sitting in your closet and a cluttered mess could be something that you could use to bless somebody, because you don't fit in it anymore. Not only that, look at some of the things you've got around the house. Are they the things that you need? Are they things that can be used to glorify God? Take a look at your life. And when you enter back into the world after sheltering in place, who do you want the people in the world to see? So when you're looking in the mirror wondering if you should wear that purple tutu, maybe look in the mirror and ask yourself, do I really want to be this person anymore? Or do I want to be more like Jesus today? And you know, I think that if we take him up on this verses 12 through 14 portion and we start seeking him and start praying to him more than just at our meals, we start being thankful for what we have instead of complaining about what we don't and what we can't do, maybe we'll be able to see things from God's perspective and be able to see what he's trying to do in us. It's funny, I talked with a guy and he was saying, you know, I'm pretty hit or miss at church. And I said, yeah, I kind of noticed that. And I said, what's interesting? He says, I miss it. And I said, you do? And he goes, yeah. We were talking, and I said, when you're told you can't go to church, you want to. But when you're told you have to, well, you don't want that. And he says, yeah, I miss it. And I do too. You know, we can make something good out of this if we try, folks. If we commit everything that we're doing in this downtime to the Lord so that we honor him with our lives and better ourselves in the process and ask him to show us things, he's going to do some amazing things. And you guys know which verse is coming next. Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Do you love him? for those who have been called according to his purpose. You've been called to come follow him, but have you chosen to? It says, forgive those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. See, ladies and gentlemen, you're not supposed to look like me or the person next to you. You're supposed to look just like Jesus. And God will use tough times to make you. He will get out a chisel and he'll spin you on a lathe and he will turn you into a beautiful piece of work. But it comes back to what I said at first, that you have to trust him. That he's going to get you through all the bad stuff and the tough times so that you can have the good stuff that he has promised to you. God's working and in control, and he's going to use all of this crap that's going on around us as great fertilizer to make something great grow in your life if you let him. We've been called to be a part of his family, and there's a great purpose in all of that, and that's to make us just like Jesus. And you know, Jesus' life wasn't perfect and easy, and yours won't be either. And just like he's trusted his Father, we can trust him as well. God's got this, and he's going to do some great things. He already has, and he will continue to do so because he's not done with us yet. So let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that we can trust you, that you have set things in motion for us and you have a plan for it all. You're not surprised by what's going on. And you've got some great things in store for us ahead, but right now is a tough time. And Lord, give us the opportunity and the desire to use it for your advantage in our lives, that we'd become more like Jesus, that we would become just like through whatever means necessary. And as you whittle away on our lives inside and out, all the time may we say, even if he kills me in the process, I will trust him. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the good and the bad, because you're using it to make us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. And all I have within me, I worship you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for being here today. Hope I didn't preach at you too much. I promise I'd just share a little bit about what God's trying to do in all of our lives right now. And it's tough because I can't worship with you, and preaching to an empty room is really a tough thing. So we're looking forward to the day when we can get back together and that we can worship together face to face. But one of the things that's an act of worship is always that we give of our tithes and our offerings to honor God for what He's done in our lives. That He has blessed us, and because He's blessed us, we want to thank Him for that and remind Him and ourselves that we are thankful for what He's done. And it might be tough to do, but He challenges us to do so. So just as a reminder, if you feel led to, take the opportunity to write out your tithe check and drop it in the mail and send it on in. You can send it to P.O. Box 72, Mount Carroll, Illinois. Just remember that it is a form of worship and trust. That He can do more with 90% in your life than you can do with 100% of it. And may He bless you and keep you safe and bring you back here safely when we are, quote-unquote, allowed to gather in this place face-to-face. Have a great week, folks. We'll see you.